Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. We thank God we're able to be here on another time to be able to get in the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save your soul. A blessing is to consider the perfect law of liberty. We are your church that believes in the one God, believing in the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New, realizing that in the Old Testament He was concealed, and in the New Testament He is revealed, none other than the Word made flesh, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnate, the anointed flesh of God, as Apostle Paul said, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but as committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He hath made Him that knew no sin, made Him to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So it is good to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And everyone does not know who Jesus is. So on today, we are continuing in the book of Romans, and we want to let you know about our call-in number, 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. So it's good that we've been in going through the book of Romans, and very interesting, these the 9th, 10th, and the 11th chapter, which is talking about Israel. And we want to bring clarity and to bring understanding of why this Paul's masterpiece, the book of Romans, was written and who it was written to. And you can't just pick it up and confess it. And that's what people have been doing. And you can't do that. Just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Mm-hmm. That's for folks who already are in the church. And so at this time, before we go any further, also today, my co-host, Elder David Clifton, and also Elder Ryan Fountain, who is our historian. So we're going to move on, and we're going to have our food for thought. Elder David Clifton is going to give his food for thought.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And actually, my food for thought is kind of going to go hand in hand with Elder Cannon just said about the way that we obtain salvation. And unfortunately, what's going on in the land right now is there's a lot of different doctrines pertaining to salvation and the way that one gets saved. And what we want here, and that's one of the reasons that we call ourselves Truth Ministries, is we want to give you all the truth about that. And the book of Proverbs, chapter number 14, and verse number 12 reads, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And man has a way of taking the word of God and perverting it, if you will, or twisting it to make things fit the way that they believe. And the Word of God is not an opinion-based book. It's a book based on facts. It is a book that we have. It's the thought or the mind of God. That's why we call it the Word of God. God is the author of this book. Although men did pen the words that they wrote down came from God, who is the author. And we have to go about life according to the will of God, or the way that God intended us to, and not according to our opinion. So make sure you research and you fully understand the salvation that you have obtained, and make sure it's not man's way, but God's way. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. My food for thought is out of the second epistle of John, the 7th through 9th verse. It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." And just to say here that the story of the Bible, the story that the Bible tells, shows that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. So what is John saying in this? He's saying that Jesus Christ was God come into the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That the eternal spirit entered into a body that he prepared for himself and came in the flesh. Anybody that would not confess that is both a deceiver and an antichrist. They are antichrist,
mm-hmm.
against Christ,
yeah.
against God's anointed one,
mm-hmm.
against God.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on to say, "Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God." So if you do not abide in the teaching that Jesus Christ gave unto the apostles, who then in turn gave it unto the rest of the disciples and evangelized this message into the world, if you do not have the doctrine that they taught, you do not have God. It's very plainly, it says it right there. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that many times Trinitarians say that we only claim the Father, or we only claim the Son. We do not give exaltation to the Fatherhood. Well, if you worship Jesus Christ in spirit, you are worshiping both the Father and him in the Sonship.
Mm-hmm.
We do not worship Jesus Christ after the flesh, but we worship him after the spirit. And that is how you must worship God, in spirit and in truth.
Yes. Yes, just like Jesus said in St. John 10 and 30, "I and my Father are one." So I wanted to read the scripture. So we're not just coming out of our head, but everything that we're saying is coming out of the word of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And to go along with what Elder David Clifton said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is 2 Timothy 3 and 16. And is profitable for doctrine or teaching, just like Elder Fountain just said,
mm-hmm.
for reproof, for correction,
mm-hmm.
for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
So we're just not just talking just to hear ourselves talk, but we're coming out of the word of God. And so, like I always quote the scripture, Nehemiah 8 and 8, "So they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and cause them to understand the reading."
Mm-hmm.
So you got to give the sense of the word,
mm-hmm.
to cause people to understand the reading. You can use a thought that you may have, but you got to give the sense of the word, because everything is written for a purpose. Some things are written for, and all things, the Bible says in Romans 15, and I believe verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through comfort and patience of the scripture might have hope." So I might have got that wrong. But anyway, so these things were written aforetime. So they were written for our learning.
Mm-hmm.
So some things were written to the Jews, and they were written for our learning.
Mm-hmm.
So we are to learn from those things. So we thank God for, there's nothing like getting into the word and getting understanding. And that's why they wept when they read back in Nehemiah's day, when they read, they found the scribe, Nehemiah the scribe, and they read in the book of the law of God, and they wept when they read the word of the Lord, because it was real unto them. So we, last week, The last couple of weeks we've been in the ninth, and last week we were in the 10th chapter of Romans, and I believe Elder Fountain elaborated on verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? We know that's a direct quote coming from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah.
Yeah.
Then, so the next verse says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people.
Mm-hmm.
So you go back and read the New Testament, God was so angry with Israel, and he said he turned his back on him. He's going to cast him out of his sight. So many things that he said he was going to do, and he did do, but he still loved them. They were the apple of his eye.
Amen.
And that's what he is intending on doing, is restoring them.
And in the book of Hebrews, it says that Israel could not find God because they sought him not by faith. So Israel never really showed God their faith in him. All through their walk in the wilderness, all they did was provoke Moses and tempt him for 40 years. Hebrews, the third chapter,
yeah.
He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today,
mm-hmm.
if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on that, take heed, brethren, lest ye be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to keep them out into the wilderness for 40 years because they continually sinned and they did not believe. It says in the 19th verse of the third chapter, so they could not enter in because of unbelief.
Mm-hmm.
So God could not lead them into their land of promise until they actually believed, until he raised up a generation that believed on him, because all they did was murmur and complain
mm-hmm.
against what God wouldn't do for them while they were in the wilderness. And that was really Israel's major downfall. Every time that they fell,
mm-hmm.
they were murmuring and complaining, and they walked away from the Lord God and did not serve after him. So they did not believe on him. They did not truly follow after him by faith. They were always a disobedient and, like he says, a gainsaying people. They were out for their own wealth. They were out for their own selves,
mm-hmm.
not for worshiping after God.
Right. Yeah, because you figure, like, there was no mightier prophet than the man Moses, who
mm-hmm.
knew the Lord face to face, and he worked terror and many miracles in the sight of Israel
mm-hmm.
on the behalf of the children of Israel. He was a type of Christ. He even told God to blot my name out of your book.
Yes.
You know, he was a man of God. He,
mm-hmm.
he was a man that knew God. He was a man that walked with God. And I mean, God manifests himself in a mighty way. And when this man died, God showed him the promised land and said, you're not going to enter in because, you know, you didn't sanctify me. When he spoke to that rock the first time, and the next time, he smote it. And he was supposed to speak to the rock. He was angry, and he called the people rebels and
mm-hmm.
smote the rock.
Mm-hmm.
Water still came out because he didn't sanctify God. God showed him the land, wouldn't let him enter in. But God still loved him, showed him the land, and the Lord buried Moses. And the devil was even contending about his body.
Mm-hmm.
And the book of Jude said the Michael the archangel was contending with the devil about the body of Moses, durst not bring railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. But anyway, you read how the children of Israel mourned for Moses for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And there had not been a man like Moses whom the Lord knew face to face. So he was a mighty man. I mean, God worked mightily. I mean, the Ten Commandments that they show on TV, That's a far cry from what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even demonstrate what really happened. God was a cloud of by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, all they had to do was just to follow it, and you know, and he manifested himself, and Moses was a witness, killed people, opened up the earth, all the things that he did,
mm-hmm.
and that's why he said he was grieved with that generation. In the book of Hebrews, gives witness to what he said. So the worst sin that we could do nowadays,
mm-hmm.
that is not repenting,
mm-hmm.
not getting baptized in the name of Jesus, and not receiving the Holy Ghost. And that's called unbelief and not believing God.
And that in itself, I mean, you know, as we're speaking about that, it's sad. I mean, can you imagine having a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night leading you? I mean, when they first escaped from Egypt, by the hand of the Lord, we know that Moses was the man, but it was God that separated the Red Sea, and they saw this with their eyes. They saw this cloud. They saw this pillar of fire by night with their eyes.
Right.
I mean, the manna, it fell from the sky. This was God doing this, and they still were disobedient and didn't believe. So that in itself, it's scary. And it's sad.
And it goes to show that how far God's grace extended unto them.
Because
you would think that even after all that he did for them over the hundreds and thousands of years, that he would have forsaken them. But as we go on, it says, has God cast away his people? God forbid.
Mm-hmm.
They're still his people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Israel is still very much his people. And there will be a time when they will be reestablished as his people on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
But the time is not now because of their disobedience and because of his plan. He has placed the church in this earth to be his people that will be as the seed of Jacob, that will be as many as the stars of the sky.
Right. Or the sand of the sea.
So we the church is the ones that are planted in the sky.
Yeah.
In the heavens. We will plant the heavens. However, the children of Israel are as the sand of the sea and will be planted in this earth. So it's all one seed coming out of Abraham, but it's two different manifestations of that seed.
Right, amen. And when it's time, so that's why, so we start off in the 11th chapter. I say, then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. Would ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
Even so, then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David says, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, hath they stumbled that they should fall? Question, God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? So we can see here, even like some people say, well, thank God, they refused them. No, the foreknowledge of God, knowing they were going to refuse him. Because he said in the book of Isaiah, it was going to be a light unto the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church of Ephesus, he said, we who were sometimes afar off, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But previous verse, by the blood of Christ, we are made nigh. But previous verses, how we were far off, without
mm-hmm.
God, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel for the covenants of promise, without God in the world, but we were made nigh by the blood of Christ, and how he broke down that middle wall partition, so making peace, made in one man, you know, was twain, tore down that wall to make one man.
Amen.
So there's one church, there's one body,
and
even as we are called, and one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and in you all and through you all. And Apostle Paul went on to say, everyone has given the measure of the gift of the grace, you know, of Christ. For he saith, he that ascended is the same that descended first in the lower parts of the earth, but he that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens,
mm-hmm.
that he might fill all things. And he goes on to say, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him who is the head of all things. Apostle Paul goes on to say, even Christ.
Amen. And he set up the ministry of the body of Christ, even in this earth too, as just as Jacob and Esau, Esau was the elder, yet he served Jacob the younger.
Yes.
This is how the church and Israel is. The church is the younger brother, yet Israel, we are in a higher place than what Israel was. Amen. Because even though Esau came out of the womb first, Jacob was still trying to come out before him because
yeah.
he knew by God's foreknowledge that the blessings were meant for him.
Mm.
So Israel's blessings were really meant for us, but we came after Israel and we ended up receiving a higher place than them. But now is Israel forsaken? God forbid, but there is a remnant within Israel.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Elder Cannon just read. There is a remnant, but not all of them that were that claim to be part of Israel are of Israel. There's only a small portion of them that really are Israel and really are part of the election of Israel. But the rest of them all had their minds darkened and had their faith blocked.
Right.
Because they won't believe on him. Amen.
Right. And as stated, when he speaks of that remnant, it's not by any works that they have done,
mm-hmm.
as stated by the Apostle
right.
Paul, but it is by the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
which I do believe Elder Fountain mentioned before. It's God's grace that
mm-hmm.
they are not cut off.
Right.
In a sense, he's using us as Gentiles, as he says down in verse 11, that he's using us to provoke Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that when it's talking here, the difference between works and grace, again, he's speaking of Israel. He's not speaking of the church. It's
right.
not any works that Israel can do, but because of the love and care and because of the grace of God, that remnant will be restored
mm-hmm.
back to their proper place. Amen.
Right, right. So that's why he said, I think, verse 16, for if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, he says, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear.
Mm-hmm.
For God spared not the natural branches. Take heed, lest he also spare not thee.
Mm-hmm.
Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again.
And let me cut in. There's a very good point right here that, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue. I think that's a very important word. If you have to continue in his goodness.
Yeah.
So you have to get in the goodness, and then you have to continue in the goodness.
Right.
And if you don't continue in the goodness, thou will be cut off.
Right.
So that goes right against the teaching of eternal security.
Exactly.
Because we are the branches that are grafted in. The Gentiles are the branches that are grafted into the olive tree, which was established first with Israel. They were the natural branches that were taken out, and we are now the next branches that were grafted in. But if we do not continue in the goodness that he showed towards us,
mm-hmm.
we can be cut off just as Israel were cut off by unbelief.
Right.
Amen. And just as Elder Farmer said before, those that came out of Egypt, those were not the ones that entered into the promise because
mm-hmm.
they did not continue, if you will, in the goodness of the Lord. They
mm-hmm.
they let unbelief get into them and disobedience, and that's what can happen to the church or to the saints of God in this day.
Right.
It's one thing to get into the body of Christ, but once you're in, it does take work on your behalf to continue in that goodness. Amen?
Amen. Yeah, so that's what, and we were taught to pay very close attention to repetition. So this is, he's actually repeating what he said in the second chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Or despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to stay in his goodness. You can't. You got to continue. And that's why he was saying that let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run this race with patience, looking
mm-hmm.
unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So he started us off, so we got to continue. And that's like you start off in a race. I ran a marathon, 26.2 miles, and I made up my mind, even when I was training, I'm going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go on, even us, as we walk with God, you can't go on the way you feel. Sometimes if I'd have went on the way I felt, I would have been gone a long time ago. But you can't go on the way you feel, just like they Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church at Corinthians, his second letter, he said, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a writer here in 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we got to keep hearing God. So, yeah, we got to realize that goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. God is able to graft them in. Anyway, so if thou were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? It's a question he's asked. He says, why would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's what I wanted to say. So that's the whole key right there. God has a time
mm-hmm.
when the fullness of the Gentiles come in, when he's going to turn back to Israel. So that's why they asked him about what's going to be the sign of his coming or the end of the world, and he was letting them know about things that were going to happen. Nation was going to be rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things that are happening, even in our world today, to let us know. And just like they used to say, and it is true, Israel is the time clock,
mm-hmm.
and it's still the time clock. So Jews are going back home.
And I just wanted to add in that that we have to understand the fullness of the Gentiles
yeah.
who come in.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Where are they coming into? They're coming into the body of Christ.
Yes.
So when the fullness, that means the when the last Gentile comes into the church,
mm-hmm.
when the last person is coming to the church, and God knows who this person is. When
exactly.
When it reaches its limit
mm-hmm.
to what God knows is going to happen,
mm-hmm.
he's going to snatch it out of here, and that's
mm-hmm.
when he'll turn back unto Israel.
Yes, yes. So the very next verse is, so all Israel shall be saved.
Mm-hmm.
All that's in the context. That's where people get, they don't understand. He's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000. Just like I say, that group of people say that there's only 144,000 going to be saved, and there's I don't know how many million of them, so that means everybody else is crazy if you ain't in 144,000. That don't even make sense. You got it. This is the truth when it's rightly divided. Mm-hmm. That's why Apostle Paul said, 2 Timothy 2:15, Apostle Paul told Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So this is what you got to do, is rightly divide the word. And even here, there's some scriptures right here, and this home stretch of this is very important.
And the like you said, you got to keep it in context. Who is the all Israel? What is that all is the ones that believed on him, though.
Yeah.
That all is the remnant that he's talking about, the ones that did not bow their knee unto Baal, that did not bow their knee unto false gods, that did not bow their knee unto riches, and did not turn their back on the Lord God, but still continued in his way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, those are the ones that are going to be saved. There's not, like he said in the ninth chapter, all that call themselves Israel are not Israel.
Right.
So there are some that call themselves Israelites, but they're not really Israelites.
Mm-hmm.
But the true Israelites, the one that God knows is truly loving God in their heart, they will be saved. And go ahead.
And it just goes to show, as we were reading before in the latter verses of chapter 10, when it talks about being called and being sent, and that's the reason, like I said before, that we have a lot of people getting out here and they're teaching, you know, that the 144,000 is supposed to be of the church. You have men and women picking up the Bible, and what they're doing is they're reading the scriptures, and they don't have any understanding, and then what they do is they go give it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking now of the Ethiopian eunuch when he was reading in the scriptures, when Philip came and asked him, understandest what thou readest? His answer was no, except some man guide me. So he understood that there needed to be a man of God to guide him or to give him understanding in the scriptures. If you don't have that, that's where error will come in, and then we will begin, as I said before, we as the church will begin to take scriptures that pertain to Israel and try to apply them to ourselves, and now we're all mixed up because we don't know which promises are for Israel, which are for the church, and then we get all mixed up, and we want to say there's some that say that us as Gentiles, we're Jews, we're Israel, and I don't know where they get this stuff from.
Right.
It's not that we're reading out of different Bibles. Most of us read out of the King James Version, but they have not been called, they have not been sent, they don't have the mind of God to, as we've always said here, to rightly divide the word. And if you don't rightly divide it, you're going to give out portions that don't belong to you, if
and,
you will.
Right. And again, to recap, is this what Israel should be striving for? No, because in the 10th chapter, what he's talking about in that first 10 verses is he wants Israel to realize who Jesus Christ was in this world, and that they need to realize that he was the Christ. He was Jesus Christ come in the flesh. He was God come in the flesh, and that they need to repent and then confess that Jesus Christ is who he is, that he is God. Because to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you say that to a Jewish person, that somebody is the Son of God, they will understand that that is God the Messiah come in the flesh to come save his people Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they would confess who Jesus Christ is, then they could be saved. Because if you can't be saved without believing on Jesus Christ.
Right.
And once you believe on Jesus Christ, you will go ahead and go on to be saved. And that is to believe on him, to repent in your heart from all your sins, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is God's Spirit within your heart. Amen?
Yes. So that's what the gospel is all about. People don't understand what the gospel is all about. And it's about not about all those sacrifices and the blood of bullocks and heifers and pigeons and turtle doves and all that. These things could not take away sin.
Amen.
But Christ being come a high priest of a new and a living way. So how He once appeared in the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. He said, I come in the volume of the book. It's written of me to do thy will, O God.
And that was one of the purposes to me of the book of Hebrews, was to show that all of those Old Testament types and shadows were done away with.
Yeah.
And that Jesus Christ fulfilled all those types and shadows within the Old Testament, and they were all put away, the priesthood, the blood, and all of those different types of word in the ark, the manna, the stones, the tablets, the budded rod, all of those represented Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ came on this earth, all those things were put away, and all the focus should have been on him. Because those were what they were focusing on. They were just foreshadowing what was to come.
Right.
And if I could, just real quick here, when Elder Fonseca was speaking, he brought my mind back to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And my point that I want to bring out is when we as apostolics say that Jesus is God, and as he said, some of us or some of the other denominations say that we're not giving the honor to the Father, if you will, we are indeed saying the same thing that Jesus and the disciples were saying in the Old Testament, but they're wording it different. And if I could, starting at verse number 32 in the 10th chapter, Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father, for which of those works do you stone me? Listen to the answer that the Jews gave him. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If ye call them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If ye do not the works of my Father, believe me not. So understand, when Jesus was saying that he's the Son of God, or when you are saying that Jesus is the Son of God, you are indeed saying that he is God. And the Jews understood that, and they missed that. And that goes back to what Elder Fonda was saying when Paul was trying to get Israel to confess that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. He's trying to get them to see, understand, and confess that God indeed did come and wrap himself in flesh in the name of Jesus. So we have to understand that when they were saying that Jesus is the Son of God, it is the same thing that we are saying in this day when we're saying Jesus is God. It's the same thing, we're just wording it different. Amen?
Right. So he was saying, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall take away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, talking about Israel, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And I think that's one of the most people quote that scripture. They say, gifts and callings come without repentance. It doesn't say that. It says, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. The subject is Israel. God gave Israel the oracles of God, and he's not going to change his mind, is what he's saying. He's not going to repent of it. So, because if that's the case, you got a gift, you don't even have to repent. So why would the Bible say repent? And he's going to give you the Holy Ghost anyway? No, I don't think so.
Come on.
That's not right. That's doing violence to the scripture.
That means he gave you a gift, and he's not going to take the gift away, even if you stop believing. There's people out there that are living a hellish lifestyle that can still speak in tongues at the drop of a dime. You can just ask them and they'll start speaking in tongues. There's a lot of preachers out there that aren't living anything, not any sort of life, but they were given the gift of God and they can preach.
Yes.
They can preach better than us.
Right.
There's a lot of people that can still prophesy and see into the future and see what's going on, but are they living anything? No, because there is an anointing that and there's gifts that are given unto you. But if you're not walking in God in God's anointing and you're not walking in the proper place with God and you're not walking in God's grace, you can get yourself in a whole lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and this is what happened with Israel. God chose them and made them a special people and above all people on the face of the earth. I'm looking right now in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you are more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you and he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, who was that? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he swear unto them? Because they were the ones that believed on him.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, out of all the men in the earth, Abraham was really the only man God saw as righteous because he did not fall into idolatry that was set in Genesis, the 11th chapter, by Nimrod in the Babylon, in the kingdom of Babel, which is confusion. That is where confusion set out, and they started living wickedly and started to worship after false gods,
mm-hmm.
and Baal came into effect, and they started worship after their own lusts, and just as before the flood, even after the flood, they still continued in their wicked ways. But Abraham was seen as righteous because he still believed on one God, and he made a covenant with Abraham and continued that covenant through his son Isaac, and then continued that covenant through his son Jacob, and then continued that covenant through the 12 sons of Jacob, which is the nation of Israel. And he redeemed them and he loved them, but there was a reason why he loved them, because their fathers, he swore unto their fathers,
right,
that believed on him,
mm-hmm.
and redeemed them. Amen. So there was a gift given unto them.
Mm-hmm.
There was a calling given unto them. And he's not going to turn away from that calling because he loved Abraham, because
mm-hmm.
he loved Isaac, and because he loved Jacob. And he's going to turn back unto those people,
yes,
because they were coming out. They came out of the loins of those men.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Right.
So that is he won't repent of that because he swore an,
yes,
everlasting covenant with all of those men. And then he swore an everlasting covenant with not only Moses, but he also swore a covenant with David. And it told David that I will establish your throne on this earth,
right,
forever.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those promises, God has to keep them because God cannot lie.
Exactly.
God,
the promises of the Lord are yea and
amen.
Amen.
Right. And he cannot fail either. And by those things, he sets to establish his word and has to establish his order. Now, he's mad at them, and they are in his wrath, and he's chastening them. And Israel has seen a whole lot of trouble, especially after their taking away unto Babylon. They've seen a whole lot of trouble, whether it be the Holocaust, whether it be the derogatory nature, which all, man, Israel is one of the only nations that I know that is just hated for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
There's no really good reason to hate Israel, but people hate them.
Right.
And people have sent them through trials and tribulations, but they continue on yet and still because God is watching over them and is protecting them from being destroyed.
Yeah, exactly. And if I could, if I could just verify or validate everything that Elder Fountain just said,
yes.
Hebrews chapter number 6, verse number 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swear by himself,
mm-hmm.
saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So he made a promise, as Elder Fountain said, to Abraham, and because he cannot lie, he has to keep that. So that that is the history, if you will, of that scripture, again, which the church uses, and we try to apply it, we take it out of its context and apply it to something that has absolutely nothing to do with the scripture. And again, that is one of the main reasons that we have a lot of confusion in the land nowadays, is because we have men taking the scriptures and as my pastor said, they're butchering the scriptures, or they're wrestling the scriptures to their own destruction. We need to get back to the truth of the gospel. We need to get back to the rightly divided word of God in order for us to come into the fullness of the truth, in order for us to get back to where we should be, in order for us that are in the truth to stay in the truth. We have to have it rightly divided. We have to make sure we understand that we're telling the people the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We can't present this gospel which fits our opinion. We can't give people this gospel that's going to make them feel good. We can't give them this gospel that's going to satisfy their ears because they have itching ears. But this all is obtaining to one person's soul, and your soul is going to rest somewhere in eternity at some given point in time, and that's either heaven or hell. So you have to make up in your mind, do you want to be lied to, or do you want the truth? Because your soul is very, very precious. It should be precious to you. So that is the reason that we even do this ministry daily. It's not something that, you know, we want to do so we can tell everybody, we, you know, we have this internet broadcast, you know, listen to us. It's because we want, excuse me, to give you the truth of the gospel. That is why we're doing this. It's to help some of you all. So, you know, we like to thank all of you that are listening. We like to ask you to continue to listen and share, you know, this station with a friend of yours. Share this information with saints in your church, so we can continue to go on in this ministry and help everyone out, amen, that's listening.
Yes. Yeah, so I think the next verse here, for as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Then this is so very important. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of whom and through him, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So God is so great, and he loved them so much. And not only that, but that's, we got to look at the message of salvation. That's why John wrote, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. And people just have come in with these blessing plans and all these so-called prophetess and prophetesses. That these folks wasn't around when I got saved in 76. Now, all of these folks, all of a sudden, they're a prophet. You got to hear the prophet. And then they grab that scripture out of believe on the Lord, and his prophets, and so shall you be established. Yeah, that's them. That ain't talking about us right now. Nowadays, that's doing violence to the scriptures. I want to speak a word into your life. Like, where'd you get that from? Speak a word into my life. This all is for our good and to be spoken to our lives. If we take it and as we should, through right division. So,
and we are, who are we to say what God can and can't do, and what God should and shouldn't do? That's what he's saying here. Who knows the mind of the Lord? And who was his counselor? Who instructed him?
Yeah.
Who taught God? God is all knowing, and He helps us through all things. So who are we to try to give suggestions unto God?
Right.
He's the one that knows what He's doing. He had this plan set out way before me and you were here.
Yeah.
And so as we were, that's what He said. We were in a place in times past that we did not believe God, but now we have been put in the place that Israel once was because they were unbelieving. We should now have mercy on Israel that they may be put back into the place that they once were, because they are in the place that we once were at one point in our lives.
Yeah.
So now, but we should ask that they should obtain mercy, and it troubles me to think, like, how can Christians say that they hate Jews? There's no way that should happen. And Christians throughout time have blamed Jews, and these are so-called Christians,
mm-hmm.
Mainly of the Catholic faith, have blamed Jews for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Well, I'm kind of glad that they crucified him, because if they didn't crucify him and he didn't die, he
mm-hmm.
couldn't rise again, and he couldn't bring me out of my sin.
Amen. Right.
So it was all for the purpose of God, and there's no way that we should be hating on anybody.
Right.
There's no way that we should be loving our brothers.
Yeah.
Because really, in essence, they are our brothers. They,
yes.
We all are begotten of God.
That's right. And we don't want to see. Let me say this: we don't want to see anyone lost. And there's a group, you know, like nowadays, you can see how people have a hate towards certain people. But God, the Bible said, all unrighteousness is sin. Something I'm not going to categorize. I mean, we talked about homosexuality, but I made up my mind, I'm not going to just categorize that.
Mm-hmm.
God is against liars.
Yes.
He's against adulterers.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He's against the covetousness people.
Mm-hmm.
He's against a thief. You know, a liar needs to stop lying. A adulterer needs to stay in his own bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a thief needs to quit stealing. And a
yes.
homosexual that's with a man needs to leave him. And a woman that's with a woman needs to leave her.
Yes.
It all goes together. Can't, you know, they're trying to act like, oh, don't bully somebody. No, nobody should be. How many liars got beat up because they lied?
Mm-hmm.
Or how many folks committing adultery got ridiculed? Or don't ask, don't tell, you know. You was with somebody else's wife or husband. I mean, that's ridiculous. All unrighteousness is sin.
Yes.
That's what Jesus came to do or to judge.
And we shouldn't, just as we shouldn't boast against Israel, we in a sense shouldn't boast against those that are still living in sin.
Right.
Because we don't know when they're going to come out.
Yes.
We have to remember that
mm-hmm.
all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What if someone was to boast against you or talk down against you
yes.
when you were living in sin?
Yes.
You may not have come out. So the church, in a sense, needs to show the same love to the world that Christ showed towards us. We're going to win them by love. We're not going to win them by talking down against them. We have to use wisdom sometimes when we're speaking on certain sins
yeah.
against people. We can't alienate people, because if we do that, if God chooses to touch their heart, they may not want to come to church because they're seeing the church as a bad place to go because the way that people are talking about them.
Right.
So we have to use wisdom in this day and age, even when we're presenting the gospel to those that we know are living in sin. Amen?
Right, yeah, because he didn't come to God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because
mm-hmm.
he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is condemnation, that light is coming to the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because they deeds were evil. I mean, people already are condemned. We don't need to badger them more.
No.
You got to preach people out of sin.
Yes.
You know, you can get out right now. You can get out.
And simply put, if anybody should have compassion for Israel, the church should have compassion for Israel.
Yeah,
man.
And they should want to see Israel saved, just as Paul wanted to see Israel saved,
amen.
Because they were the ones that the oracle of God were initially given unto.
Yes.
And they were the original call of God.
Yes.
And so we should want to see them be once again put into the grace of God. Like I said, using the illustration of Jacob and Esau, Jacob never had a hateful thought towards Esau, but Esau hated him for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And even when Esau hated him, Jacob was fearful, yet he did not hate Esau. He still wanted to come back into contact with Esau. And we know that eventually that they put away their differences and came back together once again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we should have compassion on Israel because they are in the place that we once were.
Yeah. Right.
And we are in their place. Amen.
Yeah, and that is why, and at the conclusion of the 11th chapter, let me first say this, that we now understand, if we didn't before, that chapters 9 through 11 were pertaining to Israel.
Mm.
Okay, so we have concluded that, and at the conclusion of the matter, Paul starts chapter number 12, and we'll just give a brief preview of this because our time is running out.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And,
mm-hmm.
and I just want to stop there to give us a preview.
Mm-hmm.
After it's all said and done, after we have been grafted in unnaturally into this olive tree, we shouldn't be looking down on Israel. We shouldn't boast against Israel. We should not want God's mercy to present Israel or prevent Israel from getting back where they should be. Our concern should be ourselves doing what is our reasonable service, and that is presenting ourselves a living sacrifice,
yeah.
holy and acceptable unto God. So that is what the church needs to be doing. And if we get back in line to what we're supposed to be doing, I do believe that everything else will fall into place. Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. And I think a key word in that is holy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Holy is being set apart unto God and following after what God wants
mm-hmm.
and God's order and not the order of this world. As,
mm-hmm.
as he goes on, that you are not conformed to this world, but
right.
transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Right.
So our minds should be renewed by the Holy Ghost
yeah.
into following after what God wants and what God's order is. And that is our reasonable service, and that is how we live holy in this life.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen, amen,
yeah,
amen.
So that's what it's all about. We're not trying to condemn nobody. So like we have said, we've tried to give understanding about the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter, all going together. And anybody has been listening to us, you shouldn't be confused. Realize that you can't call upon the name of the Lord, you're going to be saved. No, you got to, Jesus said, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And he led them out as far as Bethany and told them that to go back to the city of Jerusalem and wait till they be endued with power from on high. But he said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That is the name of Jesus Christ, not
mm-hmm.
the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, teach them who the Father is.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them who the Son is. Teach them who the Holy Ghost is. Then baptize them.
Right.
So that's why they knew that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is the name of Jesus, Acts 4 and 12. And wrote in Acts 4 and 12. So it is all about Jesus. So we have a responsibility. So that's why Peter went on to say, the promises to you Jews, to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So it's up to us to make the decision for ourselves.
Amen.
So on that note, with thank you for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That is truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, see up into glory.